So Visual Studio 2010 has some really useful and helpful capabilities from a tooling perspective in that it allows JavaScript developers to be more productive through the support of JavaScript IntelliSense as well as JavaScript debugging. Unfortunately, getting this up and running with a SharePoint 2010 project isn't necessarily as intuitive as a lot of folks would like it to be. In fact, I've had many a conversation with people who either don't even know it's possible or swear up and down that it can't be done. And so I'd like to show you my preferred approach for getting all of this up and running. So here I've got a empty SharePoint project that we're going to get running. I've called it SharePoint JavaScript IntelliSense. Go ahead and click OK to get this all spun up. I'm going to deploy it to my local SharePoint server on this machine as a sandbox solution. Click Finish here and let Visual Studio get everything going. So the first thing I'm going to do is come in and add a module. And I'll just leave it as module one. All right, so the first thing you'll see here is that this module has a sample text file. We're going to rename this to example dot ASPX, and I'll just host this in an ASPX page. I want the page to be off of the site slash example dot ASPX instead of the way that the URL was set up there. And we'll go ahead and go into example.aspx. It was originally a text file, so we're just going to replace the contents of this with the base code from an ASPX page hosted inside SharePoint. But this is the basic code necessary. So we're going to go ahead and add a script link, because eventually I'm going to show you how you can get IntelliSense for the client object model. And then I'm going to add a reference to jQuery. And in my case, I'm actually referencing jQuery off of the Microsoft ASP.NET Ajax CDN. If you're not familiar with the concept of a CDN, it's very useful, especially for JavaScript development, because what it allows you to do is put the responsibility of an external party for hosting core JavaScript files that you use over and over again. jQuery is a perfect example. And by doing that, your browser only has to download and cache one version of jQuery as long as all of your applications reference that, as well as any third-party applications that also reference jQuery from that CDN. Now, the only in my opinion, the only reason to not use a CDN is if your server is not available, or your clients don't have access to the public internet. So maybe you're in an internal network that your desktops don't have public access to the internet. This won't work. And so you can reference a local file. This approach will work referencing a local file as well. I just prefer to use the Ajax CDN. And if you want to learn more about the Ajax CDN, you can just go to asp.net/ajax. And click on the Microsoft Ajax Content Delivery Network. All right, so the next thing we're going to do is instead of writing JavaScript in this ASP.NET page, we're actually going to write it in a code beside file. And so I'll come up here and I'll copy this and we'll enter another script file. In this case, the naming convention that I've always liked to use is just the name of the page that this code beside file is going to align with. So in this case, it'll be example.aspx.js. Oops. All right. So of course, we need to go in and add that file. So we'll add a new item and we'll add a new JScript file. And again, we'll call it example.aspx.js. One other thing we need to do here is go into my elements file and modify the URL. So we should be good there. And so in theory, now I can come in here and start writing JavaScript code. But again, the whole point of all this was to get IntelliSense and debugging support. And so the first thing that I want to do here is drop in a reference to jQuery. Now, a couple things to point out. First of all, Here I'm pointing to the minified version of jQuery. Here I'm actually pointing to the dash vsdoc.js. Now you could point to the minified or you could point to the regular version, but you won't get as rich of IntelliSense because the dash vsdoc.js actually has comments inside of the file, etc., that give you a richer IntelliSense experience. And the other thing here is that I'm using this syntax, 3WAX, and then this reference XML. So this basically tells Visual Studio that this JavaScript file, when loaded into a page, will be dependent on additional files that the page loads up. And so this then enables IntelliSense in this standalone JavaScript file. So now I can say, get the wonderful jQuery IntelliSense that you're probably familiar with in other scenarios. I can just say document. Notice I'm getting statement completion. I hit enter there. I can do a dot ready. There you go, statement completion again. We'll go ahead and type FUN tab. And then I can go ahead and close this out. And we'll just do something simple like alert, it worked. All right, so now I should be able to do a Control F5 on this. This should deploy, get everything activated, and launch a browser for me. Right, now that we have it, I can just come up here and go to my example ASPX, and boom, it worked. Not terribly exciting. I don't want to sort of muddy or skew the demo with a bunch of client-side code. I just want to show how the mechanics of getting IntelliSense up and running. You can look at other screencasts and other demos for client-side object model coding and client-side jQuery coding, etc. All right, so that's great. But as I mentioned, you might want to do more than just jQuery. You might actually want to interact with the SharePoint's client object model. Remember, we actually put a reference to it here via the script link. And then the way that you actually get IntelliSense for it, and this is documented on MSDN, but we use the same reference approach. In this case, we're referencing the SharePoint JavaScript files. In this case, we reference the debug file because it's got richer information inside of it. But again, remember, these are just hints to Visual Studio. At actual deployment time, these mean nothing, right? So these are essentially just comments in the JavaScript. But Visual Studio uses this to understand which JavaScript files to provide IntelliSense for. So now I can come in here. I'll use the SharePoint supplied execute or delay until script loaded function, which allows me to come down here and say function tab. And we'll copy this, SharePoint ready. And so in here, now what I can do is this will guarantee that SharePoint JS is loaded and that I can actually start interacting with the client object model. So I'll say var ctx equals sp dot. And how about that? I have client-side IntelliSense for the JavaScript client object model. So I can go ahead and say client context dot. And I can say get current. And I can again even dig deeper and I can say var web is equal to ctx dot get web. You kind of get the point here. And then from here, it's just standard client object model programming. But what's great here is I can actually set a breakpoint, start this up in debug mode. We'll come over here to our example page. And notice that I'm actually hitting my client-side JavaScript with breakpoints, and I can do all the wonderful things that Visual Studio provides. I can use the locals. I can, look at the object model of this live object, etc. All right, so hopefully you've seen that getting JavaScript IntelliSense as well as JavaScript debugging for SharePoint projects is relatively simple using this approach, and hopefully this tip saves you some time, some frustration, and increases your SharePoint development productivity.